Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to Proverbs chapter 8. We're focusing on one verse in Proverbs 8, verse 17. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. May God add His blessing to the reading and hearing of His most holy word. Richard Sibbes says it like this: Oh, that we could seek Christ as we seek our pleasures. We should find more pleasure in Christ than in all the pleasures of the world if we could persuade our base hearts so much. Seek Him above all other things. Awake with this resolution in our hearts to find Christ, never to be quiet till we may say with some comfort, I am Christ's and Christ is mine. When we have Him, we have all. Seek Him with tears, at length we are sure to find Him. He hath bound Himself that if we knock, He will open. If we seek, we shall find. If we seek wisdom early with our whole hearts, entirely, sincerely, seek Christ for Christ, and then we shall be sure to find Him as she did. Thus, seek Him in the Word and sacraments, wherein He discovers Himself familiarly. Seek Him in the temple, for Christ was found in the temple, and we shall be sure to find Him both here and hereafter. Richard Sibbes, the sweet dropper. All right, so last week we looked at a couple of things from our passage. We saw the promise of the Lord to be found of Him. If we seek after Him, if we seek after wisdom, all that seek me shall find Him. What an encouragement that is. Right? James 1:5. We mentioned that earlier in our prayer today. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all liberally and upbraideth not. There's a promise that God Himself has made that if we come to Him seeking wisdom, that He will give it. Believe it, brethren. Believe it, sisters, and come and seek wisdom. We saw also that when wisdom says, I love them that love me, that this is tantamount to 1 John 4:19, right? We love Him because He first loved us. This is not, wisdom is holding itself in abeyance, tapping the foot until, okay, do you love me enough now? Okay, now I'll love you back. No, it's the other way around. Right? Wisdom loves first. And then we love. And then notice also how the scripture speaks to the people of God over all the ages, that there are many things that we might love that are contrary to divine personified wisdom. So we cautioned ourselves about our loves last week, the many things that we do or can love that draw us away from loving wisdom. And then also we spoke of wisdom as that great desideratum of all ages, right? The great thing to be desired. That there is nothing that we can desire that is greater than wisdom. And we saw this from our own chapter, chapter 8, just a few verses before, isn't it? Yes, 11. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. Right? That wisdom is that great and desirable thing of all the ages. And that's how wisdom is presented here to us. Now, we want to examine this word early. And I gave you a little bit to meditate on. Remember, there are five aspects that we want to study this week on seeking wisdom early. So what does it mean then to seek wisdom early? Well, the first thing that I want to speak with you about is early just means early. Right? Like the first part of the day. Seek wisdom early in that way, at the beginning of the day. I'll tell you what, let's start with, let me work a little bit out of order here this morning or this afternoon. Let's talk about priority. Seek wisdom firstly, that is by way of importance. Let's talk about that first. We'll get to early in a little bit, but let's talk about by way of priority or importance. When we hear about seeking wisdom early, we want also to put things in their proper perspective. The wisdom of God is of such great price, of such inestimable value above all else, so that it must be sought first before all other things. Now, there are several places in Scripture where this idea comes to the fore. Wisdom may not be the thing desired, but there are other things that comport with that wisdom. For instance, Jesus will say in Matthew 13, verses 44 through 46, he will speak about the kingdom of God in a way that wisdom speaks about wisdom here. And he will say that there was this merchant that was going forth seeking goodly pearls. And what did he find? One pearl of great price. And he said what? It is so valuable. It is so important. It is of such priority that I must have it above all else. And so he sold all he had to have that pearl. Then there was the man that went about seeking the treasure, and he found the treasure that was hidden in the field. This is Matthew 13, 44 through 46. And what did he say? Well, he told nobody. He didn't want anybody to get it out from under him. And so he went and sold everything he had, and he bought that field in which that treasure was found. And what do we find here? That we find that they sought after the pearl and after the treasure by way of priority. They saw the greatness of the thing desired, that it was to be desired above everything else. And this is how wisdom is to be desired, above everything else, as first priority above everything. The wisdom of God that is available to mankind through meditation upon His Word, through a study of the Scriptures, through wise Christian counsel, through the illumination of the Spirit of God by way of all of these means, that is more valuable than anything else. You can gain the world and lose your soul, as we heard earlier today. You can gain everything that men desire in this world and never gain your soul, but lose it instead. But he who gains wisdom will keep his soul. He will keep it to eternal life. So there is a priority here that must be understood. Proverbs 3:15 says it this way, she is more precious than rubies. We'll back up to 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. And then 8:11, which we've already read, wisdom is better than rubies. All the things that may be desired are not to be compared unto it. We're going to read a little bit later in this passage, in the next verse. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. This comports with our understanding that we will see soon in 1 Peter chapter 1, where Peter says, you were not redeemed with perishable things like gold and silver from the vain conversation of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without spot and without wrinkle. Wisdom is better, is greater, is more to be desired than any other thing. So we seek wisdom by way of priority. Priority. Listen to Henry Scudder. What is the first thing we do when we rise, which speaks to where our heart is at? Listen to what Henry Scudder says. This is from the Christian's Daily Walk. If you have not read this, well, let me tell you what we did in story time today. We started out by me asking each of the children what book they were reading from cover to cover. And if they were reading a book from cover to cover, everybody got a bookmark. So they can use that in their reading. Because we're encouraging reading, aren't we? We ought to be encouraging reading. Okay, if you come to Pastor Todd and you say, I'm reading Henry Scudder cover to cover, I'll give you a bookmark too. That's a book worthy to read. Listen to what Mr. Scudder says. In the time between your awaking and arising, if other suitable thoughts offer not themselves, it will be useful to think of some of these. I must awake from the sleep of sin to righteousness, as well as out of bodily sleep. Unto the labor of my calling, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. I must cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. I must walk honestly, as in the day I am, by the light of grace and knowledge, to arise and walk in it, as well as by the light of the sun to walk by it. Think also of your awaking out of the sleep of death and out of the grave at the sound of the last trumpet, even of your blessed resurrection unto glory at the last day. It was one of David's sweet thoughts speaking to God, when I awake, I shall be satisfied with thy likeness. Right? In that puritanical, homespun way, Mr. Scudder reminds us of what to do with those fleeting moments when our eyes open and we have not yet gotten our feet to the floor. What we do at those early times by way of priority, seeking after wisdom. Second, not only by way of priority, but by way of opportunity. By way of opportunity. There is a season in which the Lord may be found. Isaiah 55:6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. And this passage implies that such opportunities are not everlasting. They will not always be available for the taking. When the word is preached, when our Bibles are open, brothers and sisters, pray that your heart might be opened at such times, and take not these times for granted, or as if you are owed such a ministry as that from the Lord. God is patient. But as we have seen in our study of Scripture, these are the times, or there are times, when he withdraws his presence. He knocks. There is opportunity, but do we answer? Turn with me to the Song of Solomon, chapter 5. Verse 1. I am come into my garden, my sister, my spouse. I have gathered my myrrh with my spice. I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I have drunk my wine with my milk. Yea, O friends, drink. Yea, drink abundantly, O beloved. I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled, for my head is filled with dew and my locks with the drops of the night. Then the bride answers, I have put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I've washed my feet. How shall I defile them? My beloved put his hand by the hole of the door, and my bowels were moved for him. I rose up to open to my beloved. My hands dropped with myrrh, and my fingers with sweet-smelling myrrh upon the handles of the lock. I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. Oh, my soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. The watchmen that went about the city found me. They smote me. They wounded me. The keepers of the walls took away my veil from me. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, tell ye him that I am sick of love. There is opportunity. And then there are times when opportunities flee away. This is what this first 9 verses or 8 verses is about. So the husband comes to the door. Christ knocks on the door of his church. And she says, I've put off my robe. I've got my jammies on. I've already washed my feet and tucked them up into bed. How can I put them on the floor again? No, it's not a good time for me. And then my beloved put his hand by the hole in the door. And then my heart was moved for him. But by the time I got up and got to the door, he was gone. the opportunity was lost. This is, and I think this should be understood as a standalone sentence when it says, "My soul failed when he spake." Oh, beloved, don't let that be your lot. Don't have your soul fail when Christ is speaking. Be ready, be fresh. Live in the light of the opportunities to commune with Him. Don't let the lightest and slightest things like, "I've got my jammies on now. I've already washed my feet." Don't let those stand in the way of coming to meet with Christ, whether that's in your closet or in the public worship. No, the lightest and slightest things ought never to keep us from Him. Those opportunities to seek after wisdom must be taken while they are hot, while they are there. Strike during such times as the Lord presents Himself opportunely. Psalm 27, verse 8, let us have this heart instead. When thou saidst, "Seek ye my face," my heart said unto thee, "Thy face, Lord, will I seek." And then notice how David follows that up. "Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger, for thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation." You see, it is those who think of themselves as privileged that think they have an opportunity whenever they want, instead of whenever Christ presents Himself. So to seek wisdom early is to seek first by way of priority, second by way of opportunity. Isaiah 55, 6, "Seek the Lord while He may be found." We looked at that. How about Psalm 32, verse 6? "For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance." The apostle notes the urgency of this seeking after Christ in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 16. "Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given unto us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Forgetting the chapter break, 6:1. "We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Those are great passages to cry up the urgency of the opportunity, right? In Luke chapter 19, verse 42, verse 41, and when he had come near, this is the city of Jerusalem, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, "If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes." And of course, we know what happened shortly thereafter, just 40 years. the city was brought to nothing. The opportunity was there. Christ came and preached peace to them who were afar off and peace to them who were near. But they did not hear. And not hearing then, the Lord took their estate from them. In opportunity, see urgency following the apostle then. Today, now, other temporally significant terms are used to show that opportunities are fleeting and the time to seek is while we are able and while we yet hear. We heard this earlier, didn't we, when Jesus was talking about the cost of discipleship. Oh, it's just going to take me a few minutes to go and tell my mom and dad goodbye. You don't have a few minutes. The opportunity is here now. Oh, well, let me go bury my father first. No, you let the dead bury their dead. You come follow me. Any delay, any presumption with regard to opportunity, doesn't it advertise our own thought that we deserve more time, that we deserve something other than we do truly, and we don't value the offer as it comes? Seek wisdom. Those who seek me early shall find me, and there is no promise to those who don't seek early. We might say the corollary is those who do not seek early may not find at all. And we would not be far from the mark, would we? So, first, seek by way of priority. Second, seek by way of opportunity. Third, seek by way of earnestness. Earnestly seek after wisdom. This is commensurate with the object. If wisdom is so valuable, and it is, then it ought to call up our most earnest efforts to receive it. I'm going to remind you of Naaman the Syrian here. So he is in Syria. There's a captive servant girl, a slave, in Syria. She's a servant, it seems, in Naaman's own house. Naaman is a leper. And it becomes made known to him that she is lamenting for her master one day. She says, "Oh, that my master lived in Israel, where there's a prophet who could heal him." And he says, "Well, maybe I should go to that prophet." And so he does. He goes to Elisha, the prophet. Gehazi comes out to meet him. And he says, "I'm a Syrian, and I'm a pretty important guy in my country. And I've come to the prophet to be healed. I'll be right back," Gehazi says. And he goes to Elisha. And he comes back, not the prophet, but Gehazi comes back, the servant of the prophet, and says, "Go wash 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be like a baby's flesh, white and clean." And he goes away in a fit. He's angry. Why is he angry? Well, he's angry because he thought, because he's such a great man in his own country, you know, captain of the guard, general of the army, that he would be treated like a dignitary, that he would come out, that he would make some great ceremony, that he would perform some great trick for him and cleanse him right there on the spot, you know, because he's worthy of it. He's a good man. He's a great man. And so while he's going off in a huff, heading back home, one of his servants says to him, "Oh, and you remember what else Naaman said? What, this river, Jordan? I've got better rivers where I come from," right? All of that. One of his servants says to him, "You know, if the prophet asked you to do something really big, like, you know, carry away the gates of a city or take down a town or conquer an unbelieving population, you probably would have gone and done that to be free of this leprosy, right? I mean, don't let this weak means get in the way of the greatness of the prize. Wouldn't you be earnest in any way possible to get rid of this? Don't let your anger stand in the way of that." And so he goes and he washes and he's cleansed. That's good counsel from that servant, wasn't it? Good counsel. Is the object not worth your greatest effort? And yet here, all that has been required of you is to go and to wash. Brothers and sisters, let me ask you, is the object having the wisdom of God flowing in our own minds? Is that not worth the greatest effort? And yet, wisdom simply says, seek me early, and you'll find me. You won't have to dig me out of a mountain. I'll reveal myself to you. Seek me early. And so there are several scriptures that speak about the kind of earnestness that we ought to have in seeking after the things of God. We come to Isaiah chapter 26, verses 8 and 9. Yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. The desire of our soul is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee. With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me, I will seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Let favor be showed to the wicked, yet he will not learn righteousness. In the land of uprightness, he will deal unjustly and will not behold the majesty of the Lord. Lord, when thy hand is lifted up, they will not see, but they shall see and be ashamed for their envy at the people. Yea, the fire of thine enemies shall devour them. The greatness of the thing desired brings up in the prophet here in the night watches. I will seek thee at night. I will seek thee early. And why? Because when thy judgments are in the earth, then the world will learn righteousness. And so for the greatness of the thing desired, there is a great earnestness that is required. Right? In Canticles, Song of Solomon, chapter 3. Verse 1, by night on my bed I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. I will rise now and go about the city and the streets, and in the broad ways will I seek him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. The watchmen that go about the city found me, to whom I said, saw ye him whom my soul loveth? It was but a little that I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him and would not let him go until I had brought him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceived me. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the roes and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up nor awake my love till he please. That same Shunammite that was not ready in chapter 5, here is ready before Christ ever gets there. And so she goes out in the streets to seek after him. And she finds him, and she will not let him go. The earnestness of the Shunammite is characterized in the second half of chapter 5 of this book. So the daughters of Jerusalem, they have a question for her. And do you remember the question? What is thy beloved more than another beloved, O thou fairest among women? What is thy beloved more than another beloved that thou dost so charge us? My beloved is white and ruddy, the cheapest among 10,000. His head is as the most fine gold. His locks are bushy and black as a raven. His eyes are as the eyes of doves by the rivers of waters, washed with milk and fitly set. His cheeks are as a bed of spices, as sweet flowers, and his lips like lilies, dropping sweet-smelling myrrh. His hands are as gold rings set with the beryl. His belly is as bright ivory overlaid with sapphires. His legs are as pillars of marble set upon sockets of fine gold. His countenance is as Lebanon, excellent as the cedars. His mouth is most sweet, yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. It's an interesting thing, isn't it? It's as if, you know, I think implied, when they say unto her, what is thy beloved above other beloveds, O thou fairest among women. In other words, you could have anyone you want. Why him? Why him? And so her answer is full of the attributes of Christ. Full of his wisdom. Full of all the things that make Christ unique. And then after describing all of those wondrous things given in those terms of ancient Near Eastern romance and attractiveness, then she says, "This is my beloved, and this is my friend. This is why I seek after him so earnestly, because he is so desirable." This is the wisdom of God. It is that desirable. It is worthy to be sought after with the great earnestness of the Shunammite in chapter 3, of the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 26, in Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 8 through 14. "For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams which they have caused to be dreamed, for they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place whence I have caused you to be carried away captive. When you seek me with all your heart, when you seek me earnestly," the Lord says. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 5, we hear about the Ephesian church. Oh, they had all the bells and whistles, but they had left their first love. They sought an ecclesiastical estate rather than the king of the church. They had lost that. "Let us not then be cold toward the Lord, that he may remove. Let us not show him any disinterestedness. Let us pray for that warm, affectionate desire for his word and ways. Let us do these first works," Revelation 2:5. "And wait for his help patiently at his doors." Perhaps there was a time when we could not think of the love of God without a ready profession of thankfulness, an affecting tear, a sense of inexpressible gratitude. But now there are times perhaps such fervor has gone out. Dear Christians, seek the Lord earnestly with thankfulness and rejoicing, with satisfied rest in him, and with fervent sighs and expressions of love to Christ. To seek him early then is to seek him earnestly and fervently. Meditate upon his goodness and his wisdom toward you. Understand his rights over you to command and counsel you for your good. Repent of distraction and disinterest, and seek the Lord and his wisdom earnestly. Again, note the opportunities he has given you to hear him in your homes, in your closets, in your churches, or in your church. Although these are common things among many, pray that the Lord would make use of them in an uncommon way, that he would make them effectual more and more. Now, we are not Rome. We do not believe that the turning of the crank yields the results. We want to pray for a spiritual warmth and life as we participate in these means of grace. So pray for an earnest use of means, then, engaged and sincere, affecting prayer, scripture reading, conviction of sin, confession and repentance, and all of those means by which we seek his wisdom. So we seek him by way of priority. We seek him by way of opportunity. We seek him by way of earnestness. Fourth, we seek him before all else in the early part of the day. And this is what it means to seek wisdom. We touched on this a moment ago with regard to Henry Scudder, right? When he told us how to get out of bed in the morning. There's other ways that we do that. The scriptures often present something when it is to be done earnestly, it is to be done early. When it is to be done by way of priority, it is to be done early. When it is to be done diligently, it is to be done early. So we might say then, in the early part of the day or diligently. Right? That's the fourth. Diligence. Genesis 20, verse 8. Abimelech and the saving of his house and of his own life after the Lord comes to him in a dream, right, and says, "Thou art a dead man." We read that Abimelech gets up really early the next morning to make sure he did right. There was a particular diligence that was commanded to him because of the importance of the matter. In Genesis chapter 22, verse 3, we see the Lord commanding Abraham to sacrifice Isaac. And in keeping with Abraham and faithful obedience, what does Abraham do? He rises early the next day and saddles up his donkey with Isaac and heads up the mountain. And he says, "The child and I will be gone a couple of days, but we will go up, we will worship," and those faithful words, "and we will return." That's right. We will return. Diligent, early obedience. Jacob, in Genesis 28:18, after his dream, Jacob rises early in the morning. "Surely God is in this place, and I knew it not." Moses in Exodus 24:4, when the Lord had told him to set up the 12 pillars, he rose early in the morning, set up the 12 pillars, offered the offerings, called the people, made their array before them, read the book of the covenant, sprinkled the book. They did that all early in the morning because it was an earnest time to come into covenant with the Lord their God. They sought him early in the day. We could look at several other passages of Scripture, but some of the most affecting in Jeremiah chapter 7 and verse 13, among other places, the Lord says in condescending language to us, "I sent you my prophets, rising up early and sending them." Because in the Bible, when you get up early to do something, that means you're really seeking with diligence after it. So this is by way of diligence and habit as we seek wisdom. So then all these, among many others, including the Lord's own example, speak to earnest, diligent, and early rising to be about that which is important. The Lord Jesus Christ himself in Mark 1:35 rises before it is light and goes out apart to pray, seeking wisdom. Seeking the Lord then and seeking His wisdom is something we ought to do at the rising of the day. Seeking the wisdom of the Lord in His Word is a wonderful way to start out the day in testimony that it is your desire to bring all to the bar of that mental construct. It speaks of a holy habit, a regula, a rule, if you will, a rule of seeking Him. If we had heard before of earnestness in affection, here we have regularity of habit or diligence to know the Lord and His wisdom. If you seek the Lord and His wisdom early, you will form a habit of seeking Him often, that is, throughout the day, in spiritual conversation with Him, asking Him for understanding in that conversational kind of prayer, answering questions that come up in moral dilemmas and cases of conscience that might rise up, in a ready profession of praise and all other kinds of communion with the Lord. And this will fit you for that pinnacle of communion with Him and the public worship of the saints, when you join in devotion to the Lord with others to praise and serve Him. So one more point, just one more. We've had, by way of priority, by way of opportunity, by way of earnestness, by way of diligence, and now, children, I speak directly to you, in your youth, seek wisdom early. In your youth. Listen to what Thomas Brooks says. "Ah, that young men and women would but in the morning of their youth seek, yea, seek early, seek earnestly, seek affectionately, seek diligently, seek primarily, and seek unweariedly this God who is the greatest good, the best good, the most desirable good, who is a suitable good, a pure good, a satisfying good, a total good, and an eternal good." Children, children of the church, when wisdom says, "Seek me early," that includes you in the tenderness and earliness of your years. This belongs to you, children. It is a command unto you as well. So you will be fitted for your master and Lord earlier, for you will have a greater use in his kingdom. Notice in Psalm 71. Psalm 71, verse 17. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. You know, there are some places in the Psalms where the psalmist will cry out, O Lord, remember not the sins of my youth. Children, I don't want you to ever have to cry that out to the Lord. The Lord doesn't want you to ever have to cry that out to him. Rather, seek wisdom early so that you will be like, well, it's an orphan psalm, looks like. It's a psalm of David in 70. Perhaps it's David in 71. So when he says, thou hast taught me from my youth and hitherto, you know what hitherto means, right? Up to this time, consistently up to now, I have declared thy wondrous works. The command then to seek wisdom early is as much for you children as it is for us oldies. It's as much for you young ones as it is for those who have some age. In giving the Lord the first fruits of your years, you will be giving him all your best, your strength, your youthful energy. All will be his in the flower and strength of youth rather than dissipating all that blessing upon the things of this world. Who knows, children of the church, that it may not be your prayers the Lord hears when, given in the strength of your youth and dedication to his holiness, righteousness, and justice. What if the Lord is calling some in this church, even some of our children, to pray for reformation of church and state, and hearing them, he will encourage them with great and marvelous answers. Children, know this, that early seeking of the Lord will be heard by him, and a handsome return will follow. Understanding, faith, service, devotion to the Lord, reformation of the church, healing of the unholiness and corruption of the state. These are the great things of this life, and they can be yours, sons and daughters of the covenant. Seek him early. And for the rest of us, let's not give up because it's not so early for us anymore. Let us also come with these same requests. Listen to what Solomon says. Remember, Solomon wrote, I love them that love me, and all those who seek me early shall find me. That same Solomon wrote these words, Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them, while sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain, in the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out the windows be darkened, and the doors be shut in the streets, when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. And when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fears shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. Or ere the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, then shall the dust return to earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Solomon shows himself here to be a very poetic writer, as he gives the falling down of the human body in terms of the falling down of the house. And what is the remedy? Remember that all of our houses shall fall someday. So let us seek the Lord early. Let us seek His wisdom early. Let us seek His wisdom as children if we are still children. And if we are older, let us seek His wisdom in our older years as well. And let us not ever stop seeking after His wisdom. Set your compass early and chart a straight course. Nobody does this, right? No seafaring man says, okay, well, let's see. I'm going to put in my boat at the Gulf of Mexico and I'm going to sail to Key West. Okay, so I'm going to start the engine. And I'm just going to start. I'm going to get underway and just start going. I don't know what direction yet. I'll check my compass later. Nobody does that. By the time you check your compass, you may have run aground on some foul shoal. Or you may have spent all your fuel and not have wherewith to get to your destination. No, we set our compass early as we are first starting off, as we are first going. And so, children, set your compass early and you will arrive at the end, intact. Think of King Solomon. When he came to the throne, he said what? O Lord, I am but a child. Be encouraged by Samuel, who at the tender age as a youth heard the voice of God and became the counselor of kings and the judge of a nation. Think of Elisha in 1 Kings 18:12, who served the Lord from his youth. Think of great King Josiah, who came to the throne at the age of 8, and after just a few years of training, conducted an iconoclastic mission that tore down the idols contrary to God and elevated the Passover to something that had never been celebrated before his time. All as a youth. Think of John Baptist, who was filled with the Spirit from his mother's womb. And think that Jesus was in the temple at 12 years of age, discussing theology with the doctors of the church. These few examples remind us that seeking wisdom early means early. It means early in your years, children. And I'm talking to all of you that are still in your parents' home. Begin now. And don't stop seeking wisdom. And so we return to our passage and we understand then that to seek wisdom early is indeed to find it. It is a promise given. And a promise given by the Lord is a promise answered. So then, there is nothing to be desired above wisdom. In all you're getting, get wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom says, I love them that love me. And them that seek me early shall find me. And so, beloved, there's nothing standing in the way. There is no stop sign. There is no discouragement from the Lord. Only encouragement to come and to drink deeply at the fountain of His wisdom. Putting away the wisdom of this world. Putting away natural and fallen wisdom. Putting away, as the Lord says through His Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, where He says that the Lord has made foolish the wisdom of this world and instead has replaced it with this wisdom that we find, mining it out of His Word, thinking on it and meditating on it and seeking after it all the days of our lives. And if we start out with our compass pointed in the right direction, we will make safe harbor in due time. Let's stand and call upon the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that we would indeed seek wisdom early, that we would put away fallen natural wisdom, those things that rise up even out of our own corrupted breast, and that we would turn unto Thee, that we would turn to Thy Word, that we would seek wisdom, that we would seek it in the preaching of the Word, that we would seek it in the reading of the Word, that we would seek it in those lights of the past that have left their works for us to read, that we would seek it in meditation, that we would seek it in prayer, that we would seek it at all times, and that we would bring every thought captive to its obedience. Lord, deliver us from making excuses. Excuses for our lack of priority, our lack of opportunity, our lack of earnestness, our lack of diligence, and our lack of years. Deliver us from the busyness of this world that keeps us from wisdom. As we read earlier in Luke, Lord, we pray that the cares of this world would not choke out the seed of thy word that thou hast placed among us, that we should rise up faithfully bearing fruit. And we pray these things in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.